has come, there is no salah. I think the echo is because it's coming from the computer. All right, never mind. This forward? Yeah, I think that's probably it, right? Okay, bismillah. So, inna salata kanat lil mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Salah is meant to be at a particular time, which means that before its time, you cannot pray. And also after its time, the salah is considered to be lost. You have to make it up. So those are the two conditions. It has to be within its time. Now, that range, we'll define what the ranges are. The range for Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, will define all of them step by step. Okay. First hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said, maybe you were there, yeah, that's better. They say about technology that it doesn't work when you need it to work. Every other time it's fine. When I was studying computer science, we had these jokes that we would read about how many computer scientists does it take to fix a light bulb. I am thinking of those jokes right now. Anyway, let's proceed, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَّ أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which deeds are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which deeds are dearest to Allah. فَقَالَ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. He said, the prayer on its time. Okay. قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيْ. I said, what's next? قَالَ بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. He said, being very good to the parents. Taking care of the parents and being very good for the parents. قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيْ. I said, what's next? قَالَ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, the striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي بِهِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ اسْتَزَدْتُهُ لَزَادَنِي. I asked him about these three, and if I had asked for more than three, he would have told me more than three. Okay, so these are the three things he says. Number one is the prayer on its appropriate time. عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. The scholars comment on the idea of ala, saying that it is in the at the start of the time of prayer. And as we will realize as we study, the start of the time of the prayer is best in four out of the five prayers. It is best for Dhuhr, it is best for Asr, it is best for Maghrib. It is not best for Isha. It is in fact preferred that Isha be delayed a little bit, and it is best for Fajr. So those four, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, those four prayers, it is preferred that the Salah is done earlier. Isha is the one where it's preferred that it is delayed, as we will see shortly, inshallah. But the point to notice is, the Messenger mentioned, the best thing to do is pray as soon as possible. And this is, of course, not a surprise, because when Allah describes the believers, He says, "الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ." Right away after the establishing iman, the foundation, the thing that is defining a believer is establishing the prayer, which is praying as soon as it's time for the prayer. قَالَ بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The second thing is بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Bir comes from the word Bar, right? The bir and bar are from the same linguistic origin. And bar is the opposite of bahar, right? Bar is land and bahar is the sea. Okay? Linguistically, that's used in the Quran, هو الذي يسيركم في البر والبحر. He is the one who allows you to travel through the land and the sea. Now, what's interesting is bar land is, if you notice, there's many different types of landscapes. There is mountains, there is deserts, there is forests, there is so many different types of landscapes that a person crosses, right? And the idea of bir is related to it linguistically. The relationship is as follows. The idea of excellence, doing something very well to somebody or doing something to make another person happy. The types of things you can do to make them happy are various. Okay, there's a different types of it. So for example, birrul walidain is not just smiling at the parents. That's one part. It's not just listening to what they have to say. That's one part. It's not just taking care of them when they're older. That's one part. Just like the land has many, many different landscapes and different types, birr has many different aspects to it, many different facets to it, and that, when all of it is done, it's considered to be birr. Okay? So a person can't just say, I have done one aspect, so I have done birrul walidain. Birrul walidain is doing everything that counts as birrul walidain. And truly then, it qualifies as birrul walidain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. After worshipping Allah, right away he says, and be excellent to the parents. And these two things are related in the ayah. These two things are related here in the surah, in the hadith as well, where after worshipping Allah, which is the salah, the thing that's mentioned is excellence to the parents and excellence of all types. May Allah allow us to be good to our parents. Ameen, Rabbal Alameen. And give us kids who are good to us as parents as well. Ameen. قَالَ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The third thing he said is striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-jihad has many meanings. This is not the topic to discuss all of it, but linguistically it means al-juhd, well, something that's difficult to do. Okay, so it is exerting ourselves, our time, for the sake of Allah. Part of al-jihad is learning the knowledge as well. This is something that Allah mentions in the Quran, وَجَاهِدْ هُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Strive against the disbelievers using the Quran. That's a academic, that's a type of a struggle that's based on the text and the book. So that is a type of jihad. A type of jihad also, as like I mentioned, is learning knowledge. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Same idea about the people who, there's a group of Muslims going out to fight the enemy. Then a group, from that group, a small group should remain behind and study the religion, because that is also part of striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jihad has that meaning. Jihad has the meaning of striving against yourself. And of course jihad has the meaning of al-qital, actual fighting, which has conditions, which has its place. And it's something that is a topic for another discussion, but the word itself has, like we mentioned, many, many different connotations. Some of them I mentioned to you. So that's the first hadith. It tells us the importance of salah, and then hopefully we can understand the importance of salah, particularly importance of salah at its earliest time. So for us to do that, we have to study the times of the prayer to understand them correctly. Nowadays, we have the great luxury of relying on different applications, different tables that tell us the times of the prayer. That great luxury is afforded to us that was not afforded to others. But I would argue that there are times where you don't have that luxury. For example, when you're traveling on the plane. Okay? Now, if you're traveling on the plane across, the ocean, depending on which direction you go, you will encounter a completely different day for you. Okay? If you are going east, you're flying from Toronto towards, say, Saudi Arabia. Okay? You are going to go faster in time. So your salahs will come quicker one after the other. If you're flying west, you're going from Toronto to, say, Sydney, you're flying the other way, right? You are going, quote unquote, back in time, and your salahs will come in slower and more delayed. If you are flying from Sydney, as an example, and you're crossing over the date line, you're going east,
your salah is going to be different because there's a possibility you will actually not see the sunlight. This happened to me. This happened to me. I flew from Sydney once. I flew, the flight was 11 a.m. Okay? 11 a.m. I believe it was a Monday. Okay? Whatever day it was, assume it's a Monday. 11 a.m. Monday, I departed from Sydney, reached Los Angeles, okay, at 6:30 a.m. on Monday. Because when you travel across the time, you know, there's a timeline, right? It's called, I think, you cross that line, the date changes. I forgot the date. It's one of the longitudes, but there's a specific name for it. I forgot what it's called. But anyway, so the date changed. So I actually prayed Fajr on Monday in Australia before I got on the plane, right? Then when I got to LA, I was thinking, SubhanAllah, it's time for Fajr again. So it's an interesting problem. Okay, that's one. Now imagine you're going from Toronto to Saudi Arabia. Okay, you leave at 12, Dhuhr time. You will see prayers very fast, one after the other. If you do not know the mawaqit as-salah, if you do not know by looking at the sun, when is it time for Dhuhr, when is it time for Asr, when does Maghrib begin, when does Fajr start, which is a problem, right? If you're in the plane, you still have to pray on time, brothers and sisters. If you can't tell that by looking at the sun, you will most probably not be praying on time. Okay? So it is an extremely important thing, even today when we have tables and everything available to us, the ability to look at the sun and figure out it's time or it's not time, it's critical. Okay, so that's that. If you think, well, I'm not really flying that much, no problem, alhamdulillah, it's all khair. But this is part of the Sharia, we should know it, and there is a implementation for it even today. Okay, hadith number 2 and 3 will describe the times of prayer. Hadith number 2 is narrated by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, قالت لقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الفجر. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray Fajr. فيشهد معه نساء من المؤمنات. So this prayer was attended by believing women. Okay, متلفعات بمروطهن. They would be covered by their مروط, which is garments like an overcoat or an abaya that completely like covers them. And generally it was made of wool. So not only are they wearing their abaya, which is, you know, the hijab and whatnot, but on top of that they would wear another garment, perhaps to keep away from the cold, or perhaps to make sure that they're even more covered and not spotted. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْنَا إِلَى بُيُوتِهِنَّ. And then they would return to their homes when the salah is done. وَمَا يَعْرِفُهُنَّ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْغَلَسِ. And nobody would recognize who attended the prayer because of al-ghalas, which is the darkness of the morning, the time of the morning where it's dark and a little bit light. Okay, it describes as اختلاط ضياء الصبح بظلمة الليل, the mixing of the more the light of the morning with the darkness of the night. Basically, you know, the time when the sun is still rising, hasn't risen yet. Because of the darkness and it wasn't bright enough, nobody could see the faces of the women who had attended the prayer and thus not know who it was. Okay, so this is the hadith. This hadith shows us two very important things. Number one, when the Messenger of Allah would finish the Fajr prayer, it was a little bit of light, but more darkness, correct? Because the word uses al-ghalas. And it was dark enough that somebody could hide under the darkness of the night and not be recognized. Okay? So, when before the advent of street lamps and street lights, before even like electric street lights, you would have street lights in medieval countries, made out of you know, like logs that will be on fire, right? Just to illuminate the streets to make it easier for people to navigate. Before that was the case, you would only wait for the sun to rise to see who's there, or maybe the moon when the moon is full. So these women would return home and it's dark enough that nobody could see their faces and recognize them. So what is the point of the hadith? The point of the hadith is the Messenger started Fajr early or late? Early, right? He started Fajr early because when he finished Fajr, it was still dark. There was a little bit of light, but it was still dark enough for somebody to not be recognized. So that tells you that what's the preferred time of Fajr? Early or late? Early, right? That is the point of the hadith. Okay. There's a difference of opinion between the schools of jurisprudence about the earliest, what's best for Fajr. The school of Imam Malik and Shafi'i Malik, Imam Shafi'i Malik and the madhab of Imam Ahmad agree it is earlier the better. The school of Imam Abu Hanifa is that later is better. Of course, not late that sun has risen or something, but later, when there's a little bit of light, is better, and he has other evidences that he uses for that point. But from this hadith, this is one of the things we can deduce. Thing number two that we can deduce is women, sahabiyat, attended the Fajr prayer. You see, the Messenger, our mother Aisha said, فَيَشْهَدُ مَعَهُ نِسَاءٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Believing women would attend the Fajr prayer. So this shows that sahabiyat had the habit of coming for Fajr prayer. And this is something that is, by the way, in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and many other books of hadith, it goes to show that there is virtue for women to come attend the Jama'ah prayer, even when there are situations where them praying at home is preferable because it's, you know, it's safer and more hidden from the sight of people. But if that point is not compromised, if there's no issue of them getting into a problem or a situation that is troublesome, then there is nothing that stopped the sahabiyat from coming from the masjid, as we saw, coming to pray Fajr with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would of course be wearing the clothes of modesty to protect them and as part of their haya. That's hadith number two of the chapter. Okay, from this we get the best time for Fajr is beginning. Okay, hadith number three talks about the actual times of prayer, and we'll comment on that and then comment on the different types as well quickly. Alright, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة والعصر والشمس نقية والمغرب إذا وجبت والعشاء أحيانا وأحيانا إذا رآهم اجتمعوا عجل وإذا رآهم أبطأوا أخر والصبح كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصليها بغلث. Okay, this hadith is also narrated in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, as is the case with this book that we have studied. So this hadith says the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray Dhuhr bil Hajira. He would pray Dhuhr when the sun, or not sun, when the sun was visible clearly. Okay, number one. And visible clearly is that it has gone beyond the zawal. Okay, the zawal. We'll talk about that in a little bit of detail, but let me just recap the hadith. Dhuhr, when the sun was clear. Al asr, والشمس نقية. You pray Asr when the sun was clear, meaning its color had not changed to a orangish or darker yellow. It was still the same color as during the day. This is an important point because that tells you the Salat al-Asr starts a little earlier than some schools believe it to be. Number three, Maghrib إذا وجبت, when the sun set. Wajaba here has the linguistic meaning of wajaba, which is to fall down, right? وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا الصَّوَافْ فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Describing the falling of the camel after it has been slaughtered, the word used is
وجبت جنوبها. So that linguistically means for something to fall down. Here والشمس والمغرب إذا وجبت, when the sun had fallen down, meaning set. Number four is العشاء. العشاء, he says sometimes he would pray early if he saw the people gathered, and sometimes he would pray it late if people had not gathered. This is an important point. We'll come back to العشاء in the next few halaqas, but I just wanted to leave this with you for now. And the morning prayer, Fajr, number five, when it was ghalas, it was still mostly dark and a little bit of light. Dark enough where people couldn't recognize the other without the aid of an external light. So that's the five things. From this hadith, we get the times of the prayer. This is one of the hadith, there's many others. The times of the prayers, when described in the books of fiqh and in the books of hadith, they start from the dhuhr prayer. They don't start from fajr. Okay? They always start from dhuhr. So the time of dhuhr is min al-zawal ila musawat al-shay fayahu ba'dahu, sorry, ba'da fay al-zawal. The time of dhuhr is when the sun has reached its peak and then just gone over a little bit. Okay, so the sun rises from the east or from the west? It rises from the east. That was not a trick question. It rises from the east, so the shadow of something when the sun rises is extending towards the west. Yeah, like see, this is the light. My shadow extends there, right? So the shadow extends towards the west. Now, as the sun continues to rise and get to the very top, the shadow becomes smaller and smaller and smaller until it is literally below the object. That is called az-zawal. That is called, that's the sun reaching its zenith. The zawal is mayl shams ila al-maghrib. The moment the sun tilts over to the west, that moment is called az-zawal, and the shadow goes towards the east. That is the moment when dhuhr begins. We don't, unfortunately, and in the books of fiqh, for example, they mention this. They say وَيَقْصُرُ الظِّلُّ فِي الصَّيْفِ لِرْتِفَاعِهَا إِلَى الْجَوْءِ وَيَطُولُ فِي الشَّتَاءِ وَيَخْتَلِفُ بِالشَّهْرِ وَالْبَلَدِ. They were pretty good about this. They mentioned that, you know, the shadows become larger and smaller based on the weather, summer, or the based on the season rather. And also it is different based on the different months. Not every month of the summer is the same. And it will be different in different places. So they had that understanding that it's not all going to be the same. But the point is, the shadow is pointing towards the east and the sun is going towards the west. That is the start of dhuhr. It ends when something, a thing that's called a shakhis, like a stick, the shadow of that is equal to its length. Okay? That's the time of, that's the range of dhuhr. Okay? Immediately after, وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْعَصَرِ, immediately after asr begins. There is no, the asr and dhuhr, مِنْ غَيْرِ فَصْلٍ بَيْنَهُمَا, there is no gap between them. You can, like, as soon as the dhuhr ends, asr can begin. Okay? And that starts from the point where the shadow is equal to its length to the point where the shadow is twice its length. Okay? So the shadow is equal to its length here. Twice its length will be here. That would be the time of asr. So the sun has gone basically this direction, and then until this point to maybe this point is the time of asr. But that time, the second time I mentioned to you, is called al-waqt al-mukhtar, the preferred time of asr. It's preferred that you pray asr between that time. Then if you are ending up delaying asr, then وَوَقْتِ الضَّرُورَ إِلَىٰ غُرُوبِهَا, the time of necessity is from that point to the setting of the sun. Alright? So for asr, they describe two times. Number one, the preferred time. Right after dhuhr until something is equal to twice its length. That's the preferred time.
We generally pray Asr as preferred time in the masjid here, alhamdulillah. The time of necessity would be basically after that point to the setting of the sun.
Yep.
It's almost half. If Asr begins today at what time? 3:30, right? And Maghrib is around 6:18. Okay? Say 6:15. So Asr begins, like the time begins exactly around, I think, 3:30 or 3:40. And that is about 2 hours and 30 minutes for the entire duration of the Asr prayer. The Mukhtar time is about an hour. Okay? And the time that is, you know, necessity is about an hour and, you know, half hour after that. So the preferred time is earlier and it's a little shorter. The time that's afterwards is called the time of necessity.
Okay,
that's the time of Asr, number two. Number three is Maghrib, of course. Maghrib starts at the setting of the sun. Okay, the sun has to set. And it goes to the ila maghrib al humra, as we'll discuss inshallah ta'ala. The sun has idha wajabat, has gone down, and you know, the dark, the redness has not disappeared. The redness in the sky has not disappeared. The moment that disappears, Maghrib finishes. The whole sun, if you imagine the sun to be like a ball, right, and this is the horizon, this point is not Maghrib. This point is not Maghrib. It's when the entire sun has set below the horizon, that's when it's Maghrib. Is it still light outside? Of course it's light, because the sun has not disappeared completely. It has gone below the horizon. There's still some light. So Maghrib, there is a bit of light when Maghrib time comes in. And the time ends when the light completely disappears. Maghrib al-Humra. Okay? So that is the third time. Number four, of course, is Isha. Isha وَيَلِيهِ وَقْتُ الْعِشَى. Literally from the time where Maghrib ends is when Isha begins. There's a misunderstanding, perhaps the Maghrib is like half hour and then there's a bit of time but nothing happens and then Isha begins. That's not the case actually. Maghrib ends, Isha begins immediately afterwards. And Isha goes all the way up to the time of Al-Fajr, which is, as we'll come to later, the Al-Fajr As-Sadiq, the true horizon, as we will see inshallah shortly. So not the true horizon, the true rising of the sun, as we will see in the next hadith that we'll discuss next time. And of course, lastly is Fajr, which is from the rising of the sun till its complete rising, إِلَى طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ, until it has risen completely above the horizon. That is the five daily prayer times. All of those are preferred to be done early. The one that is preferred to be done late is Al-Isha. One thing I'll leave you with is on the airplane. Okay, now you are traveling towards Saudi. Okay, and you are going from Toronto to Saudi. Okay, and now you are, it's a night flight. Okay, so you board the flight at night. You have to make sure that you realize that your Fajr prayer will come in a few hours, right? So assume that Fajr right now is 6 a.m, right? So and you board the flight at 10 p.m. Okay, within 3 hours the time of Fajr is going to be very close. So if you board a night flight, it's not a wise idea to go to sleep right now. Okay, you should probably stay awake till you pray Fajr and then go to sleep. Now how do you know it's time for Fajr? You have to look outside, and the moment you see there is a bit of light from the rising of the sun, as we will discuss inshallah next time, specifically the light has not disappeared, you can see a little bit of that ghalas, the mixing of the dark of the night and the light of the sun, immediately you recognize it's Fajr time. Right, so that's one practical application that helps you, you know, feel good about praying, not missing Fajr, and then going to sleep and not having to worry about anything else. A similar situation if you have boarded the plane and it's like late afternoon, you might miss your Asr Ishraq going eastwards. You have to be sure that it's not done. So all those have practical applications. Looking at the sun, inshallah, we'll end here for today. We will talk more about this next time. But we laid the foundation with the five times for the prayers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to pray on time and to not miss our prayers at any point in time. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Any questions or comments, we'll take it now. Otherwise, no class. Next week, we're going to do it after Maghrib, by the way, because the time will change, subhanAllah. So, Maghrib will be like 7:15 or 7:20 next week, probably. So we will have the halaqah right after Maghrib, be the night. Question, whether you have to?
Yeah, when you are at work,
Right, so
the time of the
Iqamah or the time of the time, you don't have to go by the time of the Iqamah posted in the masjid. You go by the time where the Salah starts. So for example, Dhuhr is 1, right? But the time for Dhuhr, I believe, is 12:32, right? Something like that. So you can pray at 12:32, 12:33, no problem.
And the Jum'ah at 4?
Yes. So Jum'ah, we'll have a whole chapter on Jum'ah, but I'll mention, because you asked the question, is according to the majority of the scholars, you have to have 40 people for it to be considered a valid Jum'ah. Yeah, 40.
40.
40, yes. So, like I said, there's a variety of opinions on the matter. But the reason why 40 is mentioned as an opinion is because Jum'ah is meant to be a gathering of a large number of people. And if it's not a large number of people, they should go join a larger Jama'ah. You know, that was the understanding. Yes. Yes. Of course. Now, in that particular circumstance, right, now you have a very specific situation, not a generic where, you know, generic situation. In that situation, Allahu A'lam, it should be fine, right? Because the Prophet never mentioned a specific number. Okay? He never said Jama'ah has to be 40 people. Those are all deductions of the fuqaha afterwards, with the goal that Jama'ah should be istami'un nas, people gather together. Now, our circumstances are different in the sense that we are, you know, working in a different environment, living in a different time. In that case, wallahu a'lam, it should be okay to have 4 or 5 people and you do Jum'ah prayer. In the case where, for example, like if I'm working at a company where, you know, there's 4 or 5 brothers and we're like, you know what, we're a little lazy to go out to the masjid, let's just pray Jum'ah here in the prayer room, right? Or I'm at a hospital where I'm, you know, maybe with some family members and it's not an emergency, just at the hospital. And there's 4 or 5 of us, instead of us leaving the hospital to go to a masjid, we said, let's go to the prayer room of the hospital and let's do Jum'ah there. Right? In that case, I would say, brother, it's your best option to go actually to the masjid and pray. Because that's the goal of the Jum'ah. Right? Back in the day, Jum'ah, you had lots of small musallas all over the place. But you would never pray Jum'ah in any of those small musallas. Everybody would come to the big masjid for the Jum'ah. Right? That was how it used to be from the time of the Sahaba till many centuries afterwards. And we should keep that spirit. The Sahaba kept it for a reason, right? But under circumstances like yours, Allahu A'lam, it should be
separate.
That's correct as well. So that's why I'm saying in your circumstance, Allahu A'lam, should be okay, inshallah. Jazakallah. You were saying without that? Subhanallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah khair. نعم أخي.
God the first.